Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right.
News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams here, Right Side Radio. Like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Coming into the last hour of the show for Friday, the last hour for the week, really, 4:07 p.m., and I'm going to the phones to bring in a friend of mine, Matt Clark, from the Alabama Center for Law and Liberty. You hear his ads all the time on the show. Matt's been on with us multiple times. I think Matt's our frequent flyer for appearing on the show and talking about the legal issues that affect us. And I want to talk about a piece that Matt wrote most recently that deals with the vaccine mandates. He kind of broke it down into categories, things like, you know, if I work for a state or local government, can I be forced to get a vaccine? What about a religious objection? What if I'm a federal contractor? So without any further ado, let me bring on a legal scholar and, you know, defender of liberty, Matt Clark. Hey, Matt, how you doing, man?
Hey, Phil, pretty good. Thanks for having me on. It's a pleasure to be with you, as always.
Absolutely, man. Thank you so much. Well, listen, you wrote this piece for the Alabama Policy Institute through ACLL, the Center for Law and Liberty, and I know you wrote it a few weeks ago, but I don't think there's anything in it that's really changed. The one thing that I think has become readily apparent to a lot of people is that truthfully, with the exception of, you know, federal employees, that the mandate is currently more of a press release as opposed to an actual mandate because there's no enforceability mechanism. They haven't decided how they're going to apply it yet. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, pretty much. You know, when we look at the federal government and the mandates that are coming from it, I think it's most accurate to say there are three mandates, not one. The first is for folks who work directly for the federal government. That includes the military, includes, you know, just about everybody that works in D.C., and it includes, you know, some folks here in Alabama who work for the federal government in one capacity or another. The second is federal contractors, and this has a huge impact up in the Huntsville area, especially since federal contracting is such a big industry up there. And then finally, the third one is the OSHA mandate for businesses that have 100 employees or more. And that one in particular has not come out yet. Like you said, it's just a press release, and it's an announcement that President Biden made. But OSHA has taken, I think we're working on week number six now before they've done anything, and so far there's nothing there.
Yeah, I heard that OSHA had sent their draft to the White House as of, I think, yesterday afternoon, but that the actual transcript of it has not been released yet, and it's still to be approved. So more to come on that one. But let's break it down a little bit here into the different components. So Alabama does have one bill. I had State Senator Clay Schofield on a moment ago. I was pressing him on the question of whether the legislature will address vaccine mandates in the special session coming up, and it's still to be determined in that regard. But nonetheless, there are states pushing back. But we do have one bill already in place that sort of bans vaccine passports, lacks a little bit of teeth. But answer me this one. If you work for a state or local government, can it force you to get vaccinated?
No, heck no, not even close. It's, you know, I think that was probably, you know, the strongest accomplishment of the vaccine passport ban that, you know, Senator Arthur Orr was instrumental in pushing for towards the end of the legislative session. But if you work for a state or local government in the state of Alabama, the bill says that the government cannot force you to publicize any information concerning your vaccination status. And so even though it doesn't explicitly say it can't make you get vaccinated, disclosing your vaccination status is a necessary step because they got to ask you if you're vaccinated or not. So it really cuts off the ability of the government to force you to get vaccinated in that way.
Well, and that's good to hear because I know there's folks out there that are wondering if like the uber liberal mayor of Montgomery decides that all city employees are required to be vaccinated. He's in a different category than someone who maybe is a federal employee altogether. And the same would be true if you work for the state school board, for instance, different category altogether than those who are federal contractors or likewise. Go ahead. No, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to say you're absolutely right. Now, one thing that we are seeing at the state level, which you know I don't really have that much of a problem with. You do see some places like the University of Alabama and UAB Health Systems that are offering incentive payments up to I think $400 has been the maximum that I've seen for folks that you know would willingly get vaccinated. you know, on the one hand, don't want to go too far off the deep end because that is taxpayer money that they're recycling. But on the other hand, you know, the big thing that we're trying to avoid is coercing people into getting the vaccines. So, you know, if these groups want to say things like, look, we think it's effective, we're not going to force you, but if you want, we'll give you a little bit of a carrot. If you want to take the vaccine, well, you know, that's one thing. That I think Steve Marshall was even opined that that's probably okay. But it's a completely different scenario when they're saying, you take the jab or you're going to lose your job.
All right, well, let's talk about losing jobs, because there are people right now in my listening community that are contractors who serve Redstone Arsenal, Anniston Army Depot, and I'm sure there's some down in South Alabama that serve Fort Rucker or Maxwell Air Force Base in Montgomery. They're all federal contractors, and they can be anything from the people who provide sanitation services to the post or the base, or for that matter, the white collar, highly compensated software engineers or whatever else who do defense contracting. If you're a federal contractor, can you be forced to get the vaccine right now?
I'm going to give the classic lawyer answer that lawyers love, but everybody else hates. It depends. I think the strongest objection or the strongest tool that people have to fight back against it is if you have a sincere religious objection to getting the vaccine. If so, there are actually three religious freedom laws that apply. The first is Title VII of the Civil Rights Act of 1964, and that provides that if you have a religious objection and you properly notify your company of it, then they have to try to work with you to see if they can come up with an accommodation that, you know, gets you out of having to violate your faith. The two other laws that apply, well, kind of indirectly, are the Free Exercise Clause of the First Amendment and the Religious Freedom Restoration Act. And given how the courts have interpreted those, I think they do provide even stronger religious freedom protections than Title VII does. Now, the trick is, if you want to get your employer to back off using those laws, you probably have to sue your employer and the federal government at the same time and take them both out in one shot. But at the very least, Title VII stands in your defense. So what I would say, if you're listening and this is you, is, you know, figure out what your procedure is for notifying your company and asking for an accommodation. Do it immediately. Do it explicitly. Be assertive about putting your company on notice that you have a religious objection, and then make them work with you.
And that's a great point. I actually made that point to a listener the other day, is especially some of the bigger defense contractors, and I can just pull a name out of a hat, like, you know, like an SCI or a Raytheon or a Boeing or whatever. The reality is, especially the larger companies are going to have an employee handbook that requires them to follow certain administrative procedures for different things and go through their HR department and have something of record. And if you don't exhaust your administrative remedies, it can come back to haunt you later if you do file litigation without having done so. So you're exactly right, Matt. I think they need to go through the administrative processes first. Do it immediately. Don't wait. Don't fret and wring your hands and wonder what, and then one day you decide to do it. Go put it on the file now. And it may not even matter. Maybe your employer will back off. But the reality is, if you don't do it now, you're gonna delay the processes for you later. But let me ask you this, though. Have you considered anything, and I don't know if you have or not, Matt, on this, but you know, we're hearing right now that some federal contractors are looking at having their contracts revoked for cause, but there's no clause within their existing contract with the government that says COVID vaccine mandates. This is all new, but the federal government is using it to reassess the ability to, you know, enforce the contract or be held to it. And I question that as a matter of contract law. Have you looked at that at all yet? Mm-hmm. I'm asking that out of left field, but just tell me if you got any thoughts on that at all.
You know, I honestly feel that's something I haven't thought of. I think that's a very good thought, because if you contract with the federal government or anybody, you know, both parties are bound with what you agree to. So it would be very interesting to look at those contracts and also look at the law governing it to try to figure out what, you know, revoking a contract for clause looks like. So that's one line of defense that I think absolutely should be explored.
Well, Matt, listen, we're going to take a short break right now. Can you hang on through the break and come back? I want to talk about working for healthcare providers and what OSHA may do to employees over 100 people. Can you hang on?
Absolutely. I'll be right here.
All right, brother. We're with Matt Clark, the director of the Alabama Center for Law and Liberty. He's done some pretty cool stuff here of late. He's the reason why, if you work for UAB, that the mandate went away, because he convinced their legal team that that was in violation of state law. He also did some cool stuff down in Montgomery, and we're glad to have him on the team. We'll have him right back with us to talk more about vaccine mandates and sort of unpack the legal implications for how do you resist, or for that matter, are you just stuck? Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. We'll be right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams here, Right Side Radio. You can also listen to us live no matter where you are by going to rightsideradio.org, rightsideradio.org, our website, and just click listen live. And like I always say, wherever you is, there we is. Take us on vacation. You know, we got folks all over the place that listen to the show just by streaming it online. Hey, listen, I'm going back to the phone right now with my friend Matt Clark from the Alabama Center for Law and Liberty. So, Matt, you dealt with UAB Hospital, the medical center there, recently regarding a vaccine mandate. I'm looking at an article, an old article on AL.com. I think it was back in, July or early August, when UAB had announced that it was going to have a vaccine mandate, and then the Center for Law and Liberty got involved. Tell us about that real quick again.
That was a fantastic case. Unfortunately, UAB decided to go along and make their employees get mandatory vaccinations. And keep in mind, these are healthcare workers that have been working there through COVID for over a year, initially with no protection at all, but really putting their lives and their health on the line in order to save others. But now, you know, UAB comes along and says, thank you for your service, but now you got to get the vaccine or else. Now, in fairness to them, they had not explicitly stated, we're going to fire you if you don't get it. But nevertheless, you know, insubordination is usually a fireable offense. So if your boss tells you, I'm requiring you to do this, and you tell the boss, I don't think so, what usually happens to you? You know, very bad things, including termination. So we got looking into it, and what we discovered is the way UAB is set up, it's kind of a joint venture, I'm using this very loosely, between the University of Alabama, which is a government entity, and UAB Health System, which is not. Now, I looked at the way that UAB has fought out lawsuits in the past, and what they usually do is they usually play the government card when it helps them, and then they play, you know, the not government card when that helps them. But they try to have it both ways pretty often. Yeah. But after digging into it and doing research, you know, I sent them a demand letter saying, listen, if we press this thing, they're going to find out that you're a government-controlled entity. Because of that, that vaccine passport law applies to you, and you cannot force your employees to get vaccinated. So we're going to give you a few days to decide what you're going to do, but if you're not going to back down, we're going to sue you, get an injunction, and force you to back down. So I got a call back the next business day from opposing counsel, and you know, to his credit, he was reasonable and civil and professional and all that. But it looked like we were going to have to sue. But right before we dropped our lawsuit, I got a call back from him saying, hey, I got some big news. We've talked. We've decided that we are going to rescind that vaccine mandate. So within a week, UAB, which is a giant of an organization, completely changed course. And now the healthcare employees over there are free to decide what to do for their own healthcare instead of having that decision made for them.
Yeah, and that's a huge deal, Matt. You did a great job on that. I mean, I love the fact that it worked out like it did, and I think I even said to you on the show once before, those are the best case scenarios when you can technically litigate without litigating, if you know what I mean. And you just basically explained the law to them and what where it was headed, and they recognized it and they acquiesced, and all the benefit goes to the employees who were concerned about their position. But let's do this. So in your paper you wrote for the Policy Institute, you also talk about the fact that private healthcare providers, though, could be in a different boat. For instance, St. Vincent's Hospital, right there in Birmingham, literally no more than a few miles away from UAB, St. Vincent's is in a different ballpark altogether in terms of whether they can mandate their employees. And tell us about that.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. So because the vaccine passport law does not prevent private employers from coming up with their own policies. Alabama law does not stop them from forcing their employees to get vaccinated. So, you know, St. Vincent's and some other private hospitals around the state are in that scenario. So the grounds for pushing back are a little bit more limited. Again, you do have Title VII in your defense. That binds private employers and it forces them to try to come up with some kind of accommodation. Now, one thing I will say to listeners, including folks who might work at St. Vincent's, is even if you win, that does not necessarily mean that you're going to get the outcome that you most prefer. They got to find an arrangement that eliminates a conflict between your religious belief and the work requirement. So, they might not fire you, but they might assign you to a different department. And then at that point, you got to decide, is that worth it to you? If it is, then go for it. If not, then you got to pray about it and figure out, what the best course of action is.
That's good, advice.
Let me see. I've been so overwhelmed. So I've probably got about 30 open files right now from folks wanting help after word got out about our victory with UAB. A few of those are, I believe, on St. Vincent's. So I can't probably talk more about that right now, but let's just say, we're aware of it and we're working on it.
That's outstanding. Well, listen, real quick, Matt, we only got about a minute here, so give me the short answer on this one. What if you work for a private healthcare provider that accepts Medicare and Medicaid? So if the healthcare provider, like let's say St. Vincent's rescinded its mandate, but yet it also takes Medicaid and Medicare, can it then turn around and go, well, sorry, we're going to lose our contract with Medicaid and Medicare. We got to get you the vaccine now anyway.
The short answer is not yet. It's just like the OSHA situation. The president has made an announcement. There's been a press release. But as far as I know, there's actually no order in place right now requiring healthcare providers to comply. So if they try to pull that on you, be assertive and say, hey, you don't have to do that yet.
That's right. That's a great answer. All right. Hey, Matt Clark from the Alabama Center for Law and Liberty. Folks, he does great work. Matt, thanks for being on the show today. We appreciate your time as always.
Thank you, Phil. It's been a pleasure.
All right. Take care. So, yeah, Matt Clark, Alabama Center for Law and Liberty, and the thing they did with UAB, and also the thing they did with the city of Montgomery that was trying to introduce a gender hiring ordinance that could have made churches have to, hire a transgender that might be in violation of their religious charter and their faith. I mean, he fought back against that one and got that thing quashed as well. And that's the kind of thing that folks like the Alabama Center for Law and Liberty do. And so I would just encourage you, if you have a question, look them up. The Alabama Center for Law and Liberty.org, I believe, is their website. But go check them out. And they do good work. Matt is a great guy, a scholar. He used to work in the Supreme Court here in the state of Alabama. He also worked for the Judge Roy Moore's organization for a while. And now he's fighting with the Center for Law and Liberty. All right, folks, listen. We're going to open up the phone lines, 866-494-9866. Call in, talk to me. Tell me what you're thinking about the things we talked about today. Vaccine mandates, state legislature doing a special session, private sector. Is it still a private sector? I'm curious what you think about this stuff and anything else for that matter. 866-494-9866, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams here, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Listen, I got to tell you, folks, if you have not checked them out, you have got to check out Just Love Coffee Cafe. Just Love Coffee Cafe, two locations, one in Huntsville on South Memorial Parkway, one in Madison on Hughes Road. And they've got an amazing, amazing, amount of different blends and brews of coffee. They got all the gourmet blends you could possibly want. If you're a latte guy, if you like the macchiato, whatever the case may be, they got all those too. And you can also buy the K-cups and take it home with you if you want to brew it at home. But then the other thing they've got is a very cool menu. I mean, they've got sandwiches, they got breakfast, lunch, and dinner, stuff that you don't see anywhere else. And it's also a place where you can just sit, hang out, use their Wi-Fi, read a book, meet with friends. I'm just telling you, Just Love Coffee Cafe is so worth checking out. And by the way, tomorrow morning at their Hughes Road in Madison location, they're doing a special fundraiser for the Bob Jones band. And so I would encourage you, support the Bob Jones High School band out there at the Just Love Coffee Cafe location in Madison on Hughes Road. And by the way, they're hiring. Travis told me today they are hiring. If you want to fill out an application while you're there, they'll take it. Okay, so listen, we're going to the phones now. I've been saying if you want to call in, 866-494-9866. That's 866-494-9866. 404-994-9866. And I already got a couple of callers on the line. Let me go to Paul from Florence on line two. Hey, Paul, Phil Williams from Right Side. What's on your mind?
Hey, Phil. Thank you very much for taking my call.
Absolutely.
I was just going to say, I'm in the middle of a thunderstorm, so if you get feedback. But
okay.
I spoke with a relative yesterday that works for Verizon Wireless, and they were given a mandate yesterday.
Wow.
They have until February the 12th to get their shot and prove that they've gotten their shots, or they will be terminated. No questions asked.
Well, I'll tell you what, at the least Verizon lets them get through Christmas, right? But wow.
True.
That, you know, and that's, I can't help but think, though, that Verizon's being a little cagey because they're expecting all of this to get shut down by litigation, and they may have said February 12th because they know that gives it time to maybe even be put on stay. But, man, I hate it. I hate it for your folks. And, I mean, I almost makes me want to move to a different cell service provider. But, hey, Paul, thanks for the call, man. Appreciate it very much. Hey, listen, let me go to line four, Nat from Athens. Hey, Nat, Phil Williams from Right Side Radio. What's on your mind?
Well, sir, enjoying the show, enjoying the fellow you had on last time. And I was listening to him. And I've run government contract operation before, and I think I know how it might get enforced.
Okay.
In order to do business with the government, you have to register in the system for award management, even to be a prime contractor, subcontractor, in many cases, to get a purchase order.
True.
When you do that, you do certain representations and certifications. And if you do any of those wrong or later violate one of those, the government can claim that you've made a false statement to the government and come after you on a False Claims Act charge.
Wow.
So most of the regulations that get flowed down will include executive orders on EEOC, affirmative action, and other things, and they'll say as amended. So the only thing the administration has to do is to amend one of those executive orders, and it's automatically in somebody's contract.
Man, you sound like a daggum lawyer, Nat. Are you?
Well, you spend enough time around government contractors and deal with it enough, you end up thinking like it. So it's a hazard of the business. But
no,
anyway,
you're right.
I think that's how they'll push it down. And I think the one thing we have to remember is it's the administration doing it, not the contractors, because if they have to choose between not being able to do business with the government or letting some people go, you know where they're going to choose.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. They're in a rock and a hard place. So, I know one small company that does federal contracting just for services at Redstone, I believe. And they're in the position right now where they don't want to do it, but they've spent 20 years building their business. And now they're looking at having no income whatsoever if they don't follow through. So it's a rock and a hard place, man.
Right.
It's awful. Hey, Nat, great call. Thanks so much for that. We appreciate you being in the audience. Call in anytime. Let me go to line five. Kathy from Decatur's on line five. By the way, if you want to call in, 866-494-9866. That's 866-494-9866. And I got Kathy from Decatur on line five. Kathy, Phil Williams here. What's on your mind?
Oh, hi, Phil. I just wanted to thank you for all your coverage on these vaccine mandates. And,
well, thank you.
I had a thought, not just federal contractors, but like my company, we supply products to the federal government. And I'm not 100% sure, but I know with our suppliers, we have terms and conditions. And my thought is just that, you know, they're revising these terms and conditions with different customers as they go. So we've told we're going to hear something in a couple of weeks as a federal contractor, but we're really just a supplier.
Let me ask you this too, Kathy. I mean, you don't have to be divulging too much on the air, because I know that could be awkward, but does your company just supply by shipment or by mail, or do you actually go through the gate onto a federal installation and deliver in person?
Oh, no, we're a manufacturer. So we just supply, I think, like a manufactured product.
Okay.
We don't work. We have our own plants. I've also worked as a contractor for the Department of Energy before, and that was a totally different situation. So when this whole thought about federal contractors came up, I thought, well, that doesn't apply to us. But apparently it's looks like it's going to.
Wow.
And then I also wanted to mention there's supposed to be a rally tomorrow at the Capitol at 12:30. And I'm not sure the name of the group, but it's a Facebook group. I'm trying to pull it up. Liberty Action. I think it's called Alabama Rally for Change, if anybody's going to be in the area.
And are they rallying regarding vaccine mandates? Is that what they're doing?
Yeah, I think so. It's they've got some special guest candidate for governor, Operation Save America. I think it is related to health freedom. And it just says sponsored by Alabama Liberty Action. So people can maybe look that up on Facebook.
Okay, good enough. Hey, Kathy, great call. Thank you for that. And good luck to you with your company. By the way, Kathy, are you the owner of the company or are you an employee? Oh, she's already gone. Okay, no worries. All right, folks, we're going to leave the phone lines open. You want to call in and talk about this stuff? I mean, those are some great calls. Wow. I mean, those were people that were inside the mix right there. But you can tell, by the way, how much it's impacting our community. Just our listening area alone is dealing with this like on a minute-by-minute basis. And when I had my friend Clay Schofield, Senator Schofield, on the phone with us earlier, and I was sort of pressing him on, are y'all going to do anything in session? I don't think there is another issue out there that could generate more buzz than this one right here. And I'm going to go ahead and step out on a limb here and say this. If the state legislature will go to bat on this issue, I will give them all the air cover I can muster on this radio show. I do know the Policy Institute would join them. Folks like this Liberty Action Group, I'm sure, would join them. Folks like Eagle Forum would join them. I mean, I can guarantee the Policy Institute's going to join them. I bet the Alabama Center for Law and Liberty would join them. I'm just saying right now, there is a vast number of people out there and organizations like Right Side Radio and the Alabama Policy Institute and the Alabama Center for Law and Liberty, all of them, across the board, would love to get on board with championing this cause and would give them all the air cover they could need. And we would love to be able to then also talk about the people in the legislature who were opposing it and not letting it happen. So literally, Republicans, you have the majority. This is a situation that is brewing nationwide. You got other state legislatures that are already leading the way on this. You got Florida and Tennessee that hit our borders. You got Governor Abbott in Texas to the west. I'm just telling you, people, senators and representatives, you want to make some noise on this. Your constituents will look favorably upon it. Now, are there those who are scared and those who believe that mandates are a wonderful thing? Certainly they are. Where do we live? Alabama. And this is going to be the state that's going to be there for you if you will go down that road. All right, look, folks, we're going to take a short break right now. Go ahead and get that out of the way, and we'll come back and wrap up the week. Some of you guys already have your car keys in your hands, and I know it. Listen, we got plenty going on, and there's going to be more next week. Keep your eyes open. Keep your head on a swivel. Keep your powder dry. Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Wrapping up the day here, but I got to tell you real quick about my friends at ZLA Solutions. ZLA Solutions, listen, if you're looking for a job, ZLA Solutions, they put people into jobs all the time, and they got a bunch of them posted on their website right now. Go to ZLAUSA.com. But if you're an employer looking to fill out the ranks of your workforce and you have trouble with the recruiting, the background checks, the drug testing, all that kind of stuff, that's what they do, and they're good at it. So check them out again, ZLAUSA.com, ZLA Solutions, putting people to work all over the state of Alabama. They like to say at ZLA, we don't make it, we just make it better. ZLA Solutions at ZLAUSA.com. All right, breaking news. I am looking at something right now that pleases me to no end. Our very own state senator, Arthur Orr, who serves in this listening area from the great community of Decatur, State Senator Orr has issued a statement today saying that he believes that Governor Ivey should follow Texas Governor Greg Abbott's lead and ban vaccine mandates via executive order. That's huge. All right, that also indicates, and he's a member of leadership in the state Senate, and so that also indicates to me that there is some momentum brewing among even the leadership in the state Senate or the legislature to do something. And he's asking right now that the governor begin taking this stand first by executive order. And then, if I'm reading it correctly, It means that there may be something else coming too by legislative session. But, hey, listen, I want to go to the phones again. I've got Kevin from Madison's been hanging on, and I appreciate it very much. Hey, Kevin, Phil Williams from Right Side, what's on your mind?
Hey, Phil, thank you for the opportunity. And I want to say thank you for supporting the conservative side. I'm very, very proud of that. And this vaccine mandate, I think Clay Schofield is the typical politician right now. Don't mean to say it in a blanket statement, but I don't think he really gets it. He's more worried about the lines being drawn. You kept bringing up the vaccine mandate. And if we do the mandate statewide, we'll lose 15% of our employees. Yeah. So we'll lose 15% of the state, and then Clay Schofield will have to redo the lines again.
Well, Kevin, I will tell you,
big time.
I will tell you, somewhat to his defense, we did a report card last year, the Alabama Policy Institute did, on legislators. It was on how conservative they are, how accessible they are to their constituents, and there were only four senators that scored 100 out of the entire state Senate, and he was one of them. So he's usually one of the good guys, and I do appreciate his position on this. They've got to do the redistricting. They have no choice. It's constitutionally mandated, so they're going to do it no matter what. But I do think, and I do believe, that there are some conversations being had with the governor right now. I would not be a bit surprised to find out that Clay's in the mix on that. So I am hopeful that they will get something done. And I don't want that to be interpreted as, you know, we don't think he is. I just want to make sure that the people know that they're working on it. But Kevin, well, I appreciate that. Go ahead. What you got?
Topic back to him several times, and he still ignored it.
Well, that would, and that's radio. But yeah. But he handled it well, and he came around too. I think he even said you're preaching to the choir, and said they are having some conversations. So I'm gonna go with that, and just believe that he will. But Kevin, thanks for the call, man. You have a great weekend. Appreciate you being in the audience, and thanks for your comments on the show. All right, folks, listen, it has been a full kind of week, and the phones are still open. I got time for one, maybe two calls, and I'll tell you this, too. It is one of those things that's very gratifying to see that we talk about something, and then, boom, a headline pops up, and it turns out that what we're talking about is being addressed. And so, literally, State Senator Arthur Orr asking for the governor to issue an executive order. I think there's the possibility then that we could see a special session. Orr is saying here, if I believe this, he thinks it doesn't have to be a special session issue, but if we have an executive order, that keeps things clear for the time being. Well, we'll see. We will see. And I think that Governor Ivey certainly has that authority to issue that type of executive order in the meantime. Hey, I got another caller on line three, Doug from Madison. Hey, Doug, Phil Williams on Right Side. What's on your mind?
Hey, Phil, I just wanted to give you some kudos today. Great show. Very timely. And I just wanted to say appreciate it and just remind everybody out there, it's up to us now. We've got to put the pressure on in order to get some things done.
Man, you are so right. Hey, Doug, thank you for that, by the way. I appreciate that very much. You sound like a Right Side ruffian. We appreciate you being in the audience.
I appreciate you, sir. Thank you. Have a great weekend.
All right, have a great day. Well, that's a nice one to end on. Well, hey, Copper, I got to ask you a question, though.
Yeah.
Do you remember earlier in the week I was talking about how many downloads of our podcast format, you know, when you break the show? All right, so I gave a number. Do you remember what the number was that I thought we might be to on Friday?
8,000.
You thought, okay, I thought we might be to 8,000. I thought we would. What do you think that we are actually at?
8,100.
How about 8,300?
Ooh, nice.
So that's very cool. And you know, and I say it all the time, I don't know what a lot is, but that feels like a lot. And so anyway, Copper, every day at the end of the show, Copper takes the show, breaks it down into short segments, like say the interview with Clay Schofield would be one segment by itself, or, you know, my Right Side Way monologue or her Copper's Corner monologue would be one segment. And then we upload them to rightsideradio.org. You can find them the very next morning. They're typically uploaded for podcast format for people who drive and, you know, want to catch a piece of it again or send one to a friend or get the segment they missed. And right now what we see is we've got over 8,300 downloads of parts of the show. And that's just an indication to me that the show is resonating, and it's because of this audience. And we love you, and we appreciate it very much. Bunch of right-side ruffians out there, people who look around the world and say, you know what, I see that. I see you liberals, and I'm not going to let it sit idly by, all right? And they say, not on my watch. And by the way, like Charlene, my sweet wife, says, there's a whole lot more of us than there are of them. So stay in the fray, people. Have a great weekend. Coming up next, you got the great one. Mark Levin will be with you, and we'll be back on Monday. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, just plain right. We'll see you then.